This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, hello again, everybody at TFMR, and happy Valentine's Day. It is Tuesday, February the 14th, and welcome back to the second part of my conversation last week with Frank Giustra. Of course, Frank, a well-known natural resource investor, entrepreneur, and philanthropist. And back in part one that was posted on Monday, he discussed Fed policy, current economic situation, some key tips for people that are invested in the precious metals mining shares, some things that they should be aware of and thinking about anytime they make an investment. It's a great podcast. If you missed it on Monday, it's right here on the TFMR homepage. And I encourage you to check out free public audio for all to listen. In part two of our conversation, I asked Frank to get into some of the specifics of Aris Mining, where he is a strategic advisor and one of the largest shareholders. I'm a shareholder too. And I know the company has exciting prospects, but its share price has been beaten down quite a bit over the last year, as have many junior mining companies. But there's a lot of exciting things going on there. So when I reached out to Frank initially, it was to discuss Aris. So that's what we talk about here in part two. Again, don't just take my word for it. Don't take Frank's word for it. Do your own due diligence. See if this is something that fits your risk tolerance and your time horizon. But in terms of junior explorers, and with the track record of the crew that runs Aris, well, Aris certainly seems intriguing. And I think you'll find that as you listen to this podcast. So have a listen, and thanks for listening. And we'll get back to our regular daily podcast schedule tomorrow. Well, my friend, you've led me directly where I wanted to go in the first place. As you know, people listening to this don't know this. I called you a couple of weeks ago because I said, hey, I want to have you come on and talk about Aris. And I just thought I should probably, with all the craziness of the last week, Frank, am I paying you to come on and talk about Aris? Just curious.
No, you're not paying me.
As far as
nobody,
I know,
nobody pays me to do anything.
Are you paying me? Is there a check?
I'm not paying you either.
Darn it.
No, listen. Any thoughts I give you on anything, it's free advice. You can take it or leave it.
Gosh darn it! A check would be nice. All right. Well, anyway, just so people know, I'm just a shareholder. Okay. I own. In fact, I can dial the clock back to April 2021. Was when I first found out about the company. I had Neil Woodyer, who's still the CEO.
Yeah.
He came on and told me about the company. A lot has changed in 2 years since. We're going to get into that. But I've been holding the shares ever since then. And I mean, the stock at one point in 2021 was like $6 or $7 US. So I've, you know, held it and watched it go down. But that doesn't mean that there hasn't been all sorts of progress made behind the scenes. So now you're a strategic advisor there. You are one of the largest shareholders in Aris. And the other piece of the puzzle that I want to point out to everybody, if everybody remembers those weekly calls I used to have with Eric Sprott, Eric was always a big fan of Grand Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
He always thought that there was a lot of gold there. So putting it all together is the merger from late last year, I guess we'll call it, or last year, of Aris with Grand Columbia. So let me stop there and let you take it from there and tell us how the company is doing.
All right. Well, first, just to give you a bit of background as to why I'm doing this in the first place. Like I said, Aris is my fourth gold mining company that I've helped build with management teams in the last 20 years. The first one was Wheaton River, which became Goldcorp. Had an incredible run, but that was a concept deal that I came up with back in 2001, and it turned, and then Ian Telfer, with his leadership, we turned it into a major gold miner. It was one of the top market caps for gold mining companies in the world. I think at its peak, it reached $50 billion market cap. And so that was a lot of fun building, and, you know, working with Ian Telfer was great. And then I did Endeavor with Neil Woodyer back in 2009, and I caught that wave, and we built Endeavor Mining, which is now one of the largest gold producers in West Africa. I don't know what its market cap is. I think it's about, I don't know, $5-6 billion. And then we were, there was a change of control there, and Neil and I left, and we started Leia Gold in 2016. and with a view on Latin America as our place to build a gold mining company. We bought a bunch of mines, and then merged it with Equinox, Ross Beaty's Equinox, and I'm still a shareholder of Equinox, and that's done very well. I mean, it's I think it's early days. I mean, they've got a lot of mines and projects going into production. And then I decided a couple of years ago to do it again with Neil and Ian Telfer, and bringing those two together. And Aris was again a concept of creating a gold producer, always with the goal in everything we create. The goal is to create something that will produce over 1 million ounces a year. That's always our MO. Okay, and it's a strategy formula that works, and it's worked time and time again. And my attitude is, if it ain't broken, why change it? Because we take the view that we can build buy with a buy and build strategy, we can create a 1 million ounce a year producer in a period between 3 and 7 years. And we're 2 years into this now. And I look at what we've achieved in just the first few years. We have a much more prolific starter kit than we ever had with Wheaton River or Endeavor or Leagold Gold. We've got an incredible portfolio of two mines plus two major projects, 25 million ounces in various categories amongst them. We produce 250,000 ounces a year, which generates about $85 million of free cash flow per year. We're in the all-in sustaining cost averaging around $1,100. And more importantly, we got the Soto Norte project, which we currently own 20% of, but we have the option to go up to 50% of that project. It is an incredible high-grade project in Colombia. I think they spent $500 million in developing that project. The discovery hole was 100 meters of 8 grams. When it goes into production down the road, it's going to have one of the lowest all-in sustaining costs in the industry at around just under $500. We're sitting on $326 million in cash. Wheaton Precious Metals has a commitment for one of our projects, $260 million, to build it. We have a pathway to six to get us from 250,000 ounces a year up to about 600,000 ounces a year with what we already have in place. And more if certain other things play out, which we'll have to see. But definitely a pathway to 600,000 ounces, maybe more, with what we already have. And more importantly, I look at the metrics, because I always look at the metrics of these things. Our valuation, which is still under $500 million market cap, is cheap when you look at multiple cash flow, when you look at ounces in the ground. I think we trade around $16 per ounce in the ground, whereas the juniors trade at 80, the mid tiers at 115, and even a lot of the pre production development plays are trading at twice, over twice the value, around $36. And we have all these things with this incredible cash flow. Segovia, our main production mine right now, has been in production over 100 years. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It has multiple veins yet to be mined. We're only mining four out of the 30 known veins. I think it'll produce for at least the next 10 years, if not longer. If we get Soto Norte, Marmato is a 20-year mine life, really good grade. We're going through an expansion there to take it from about 40,000 ounces a year to about 180,000 ounces a year. And it's got a 20-year mine life. Our projects are really great. We're making great progress with the permitting process in Colombia. We're working with the government, with aligning our vision with theirs in terms of how to deal with small-scale farmers and artisanal, not farmers, miners and artisanal miners. And I think, we're going to move this project along, the Soto Norte project, which I think once we get that permitted, it changes. It's a game changer. So I look at this and I'm going, I'm 2 years into it. It's still really cheap on the metrics, and I think we're on a path to create a major gold producer as we have done in the past.
Just
And I have a long-term view. I'm very patient. And so I invest, and then sometimes I invest more, it depends, and then I hold my position until something happens.
And like you said, Frank, it's people have done it before that you've worked with before, Ian and Neil and others. And there's obviously it's a great resource, and you're not just there. I mean, you've got some stuff you're working on in the Abitibi and other places where gold is usually found. I just my last question is, but is I don't know if it's being held back because it's in Colombia and everything's going on in Peru and all these other, South American countries. Can you talk about doing business in Colombia?
I think that's part of it, but I think it's a misguided view. I mean, we've had over six, I think 6 or 7 analysts go down to Colombia to do the property visits, and they came back and have all written reports. You got to go read those reports. They came back really excited about our approach to social issues, political issues, and how we're advancing these projects, working closely with the communities, with government. I've been doing business in Colombia since the late 80s. Okay, I've never had a problem. I've done a number of mining deals there. I've done oil and gas deals there. I've invested in other things there. It's the only democracy in Latin America that's never gone through a dictatorship. It's been a democracy forever. No, they've had their problems. They had the whole guerrilla movement with the FARC and the ELN, which caused a lot, and obviously the narcos and all of that over, in the 80s and 90s were very, very tough. But that's all mostly been put to bed. I mean, there's still small issues in some areas of the country, but it's, once President Santos formalized the peace agreement with the FARC, things changed. And like I said, it's not perfect, but it's now a wonderful country to work in. The new government isn't causing the gold industry any problems. I think they recognize how important mining is to Colombia. They've eliminated the gold export tax, and I think that all of these things we're very comfortable with. And I think as we progress these projects, as we get our permitting in place, I think people will see. And some people will wait and see till we do it. Others will take the initiative, go check it out, and invest earlier. But I'm confident that we will overcome that perception issue with respect to Colombia.
Yeah, and what now everybody listening knows why I called you a couple weeks ago, because I look at this, you're already doing what let's call it 250,000 ounces this year, I think is what your estimate is, right? So we're a quarter of the way to the mill that you've done before, and that is your stated goal with Ian and Neil to get to this time. And you start thinking, well, let's see, is if they're cranking out 1 million ounces a year in a few years, this stock ain't gonna be 325 US. So there's a quite a bit of maybe undervaluation here. You can find it in Canada with a very simple symbol. If it's Aris Mining, ARIS, you can find it in Canada. Are you gonna do anything about this symbol down the US, the TPRFF? Have you filed something different, or are you sticking with that?
I don't know. I'm not part of management. I'm not even on the board.
That's not your deal. You want to maybe.
I will ask about it because that's strange. I never watch it on the US market, and I own it. I don't watch it every day, but it's okay. I'll look into that. I had no idea.
I think it's a holdover from either Grand Columbia or something, older. And it
All
just
right.
doesn't fit what you're
Well,
doing.
hopefully management will listen to this podcast and do
There you
something
go.
about it.
See
Okay.
that's my one thing for the suggestion box,
All
Frank. But
right.
in the meantime, TPRFF. You always get that F at the end here in the US and get Aris up in Canada. I will put all kinds of links on this page so everybody can, you don't take my word for it. You don't need to take Frank's word for it. You got to do your own research and check it out. But again, this is one that we first looked at a couple years ago. I've written it down. I thought this is, I think, this silly. This checks off too many boxes. So, Frank, thank you so much
No, you're
for
welcome.
bringing us up to speed. I know your time is valuable, and to share some with us here, I just really appreciate it.
Anytime, Craig. Anytime.
And I will be certain to try to keep in touch. For now, though, we'll wrap this up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And please be sure to check out Aris Mining.